Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, and oh yes, the international, and like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, welcome to hour number two on this hump day. I'm going to go down a road now that I find this fascinating. It's like a study in world politics. There are times when what happens in other countries could just, you know, basically is meaningless to us, right? You know, how many of you knew that there was a coup in Niger last year? Not many of us. Of course, it has resulted in the U.S. Being kicked out of the country, but that's another story. But there are times, though, when there are indicators that what happens on an international scale could be something that's going to happen here, too, or vice versa. There are times when there are trends that transcend borders. And what we're seeing right now in Europe has got a lot of people talking about whether or not America is going to be another clear indication of the same thing. And Big Rig, I'm going to use audio clip number three here in just a minute, all right? So let me just say this. The European Union, which a lot of people here in the U.S. don't even understand, but basically what it is like a European, it's like a United Nations for Europe, you know, but it's even more than that because they form their own currency and they're trying to enact laws and they're trying to have more of an open borders policy. And listen, it's got a lot of people uptight. But what just happened in the last few days is a clear indication that people care about the sovereignty of their own borders. Not a little bit. People care about mass migration and open borders. They do. And they do to the point that the elections have begun to show the influence of what I would call a populist movement. Now, some of the media saying the far right, it's not the far right, it's the populist. It's the fact that on this, like the kitchen table politics says we care about this. Number one issue right now in the polls in America. Immigration. What just happened in the European Union elections? Conservatives swept the day. In all of the member states, for the most part, more conservative pushback on immigration, save our sovereignty parties wound up gaining so much strength that it is throwing the European Union and its member states' politics into chaos right now. And I don't mean like chaos, like rioting in the streets, although there have been some. And it's been more likely liberals, well, not more likely, it's been liberals having a fit because they realize some of their power base is going away because the people are finally speaking up. It all started with Brexit. If you're not familiar with Brexit, so there was a period of time when Great Britain, which is, you know, like think back to World War II, as Nazis swept across Europe and took over, you know, the European continent. The European nation of Great Britain is an island unto itself off the shore across the English Channel, and it stood alone in many ways. And it stood up against it. I think the modern era shows that that's still there. But even in Europe, even in Great Britain, they're sick to death of the open borders policy. And I'm going to tell you some things about their elections that are clearly indicating that populists are winning on this topic. But Brexit was first. So Brexit stands for the British exit from the European Union. So all the member states were in. Everybody was there. And there's one guy named Nigel Farage. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm sure he's got all kinds of warts and blemishes and maybe he's got problems. I don't know. But I love Nigel Farage. I met him once in D.C. The man's a hoot. We got to hang out for a few minutes. Just a few minutes. But we hung out for a few minutes. And the guy's an absolute hoot. But when he gives a speech, one of my favorite speeches, period, it's a political speech, but it's a speech by Nigel Farage. In the wake of Brexit, he stood up in the European Union getting booed by all the member states. And he told them, he said, 10 years ago, when I came here, I told you this day would come and you laughed at me. Well, you're not laughing now, are you? It's one of my favorite speeches, June of 2016. You ought to check it out. And then there was the actual exit, the Brexit, and Nigel Farage gave another speech And he stood up, and I'm going to play just a clip of it because it leads into where I'm headed. I think this was the moment when the rest of Europe began to grow in its alarm about the idea of losing their sovereignty. Play it.
After 3.5 years of deception and dishonesty, we will be leaving this prison of nations at the end of January.
Prison of nations.
And we won't become a third country, as I've been hearing this morning. No, we're going to become an independent, self-governing nation. And you can delude yourselves this morning inside this cathedral that all is well, but it isn't. It isn't. People do not want to be run and governed by faceless bureaucrats like Michelle and von der Leyen. Did you hear them earlier? Dull as ditch water. You're being rejected. And it's great news that in Poland, opinion polls now show a majority of Poles think they'd be better off outside the European Union. Brexit is the beginning of the end of this project. We are giving leadership, and we'll take it to a Europe of sovereign states working together, being friends together, but not being run by the gang down at the middle there.
Nice, nice, nice. Well said. And I love the fact that he said this prison of nations. And what you just heard there was the type of message that just and over the past week, this type of message that just resonated through their elections. Why does it matter to us? Because it's coming here. Because the exact same causes that caused the people to rise up in their elections for their European Union parliamentary members, that have thrown their local politics now into chaos, are the exact same issues that poll the highest right now in the United States. I've got an article here. I pulled this off of wokespy.com. It says, could America be next? It's a summary of what just happened. And it says, it says woke extremists across Europe are heartbroken following a successful election night for right-wing parties across the continent. I wrote my notes here. I said, wokists lose, sovereignty wins. Let's take a look at some of how this broke down. In France, in Germany, in Italy, in Spain, you've got literally like, okay, right-wing national the National Rally Party in France took 31% of the vote. In Germany, the party calling itself Alternatives for Germany saw major gains. In Austria, the party called Freedom Party of Austria scored the most seats of the country's 20-member delegation. In Italy, a group calling itself the Brothers of Italy topped the polls in the Mediterranean nation with more than 28% of the vote. In Spain, right-wing parties beat the left by more than 10%. You can look at this, and you can say, in Belgium, the Prime Minister of Belgium just resigned, believe it or not, because it was such a crushing defeat of his party against those who stood for what I would call the more conservative policies of sovereignty and anti-immigration. You've got in Luxembourg, the first ever conservative seats have just been won. And a lot of the mainstream outlets, the media outlets are so far right, the far right. Well, it's just like they're calling January 6th an insurrection. It's an insurrection. No, it was called a protest. Well, the mainstream over there is calling it the far right, but what they're really just trying to do is demonize the fact that populist conservative parties just won massive amounts of seats in the European Union Parliament. Because the biggest issue that people cared about was the loss of their sovereignty. And how do you lose your sovereignty? By ceding away the things that give you the right to make decisions and by allowing open borders that flood people into your country who could care less about your culture and your society and your laws. Those were the issues that drove Brexit. Those were the issues that just grew in the last week to mean that in Europe, the European Parliament elections for the European Union just overwhelmingly became something that have now caused snap elections in France. I'm going to get to that in a minute, but you got a situation right now in France where they're literally redoing the government. Not the European Parliament, France itself. In Belgium, the prime minister just resigned. Meanwhile, in the United States, we've got George Soros and his Open Borders Society funding millions of dollars into organizations that help get illegals across our border and then flooding them into our cities. I'll talk about that after the break when we get back because that's one of the things driving the train. States are fighting back. Joe Biden's panicking right now. It's the number one issue. He's trying to do things at the last minute. We'll talk about all of it. And I'll tell you what Mayorkas has said, which has made a lot of people mad. And then we'll get back to Europe and tell you the other things that have been going on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so I'm in this second dipper of the day. I'm calling it sovereignty because people care, right? I mean, I do. I know you do. The vast majority of Americans do. We don't want to lose our country. And yet the southern border, I mean, if you don't have a border, do you really have a country? Because there's no reason in saying, it's just like having your own yard. You put a fence around your backyard so your kids are safe and your dog doesn't get out, right? There's no reason why you can't have a fence. Why? Because it's your border. It's your yard. You don't want your neighbors coming over there and cutting down your rose bushes. You don't want your neighbor's dog making puppies with your dog. You don't want people staring at you while you're enjoying the pool in your own backyard. You've got a fence. You've got shrubs. You've got the ability to actually safeguard your own property. And oh, by the way, you've got a deed to your property. Well, that's nothing but a microcosm of what the borders of a country are. And yet right now, the number one issue, polling across the nation, the number one issue is immigration, the loss of control of our borders, which I would contest even further than that means potentially a loss of our sovereignty. If you look back, and I've said it before, but if you look back at the historical aspects of the things that caused the fall of Rome, one of them was mass migration and a loss of control of their borders. They could no longer maintain their sovereignty. They allowed themselves to become so diluted as a nation. Maybe it's deluded and diluted, but anyway, both of them, that they lost complete control of their own nation. George Soros, by the way, I know he's the boogeyman, but you know what? He freaking is. The guy's like a daggum Bond villain. No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. Left-wing billionaire George Soros, according to the Washington Examiner, steered hundreds of thousands of dollars more to another open borders group that may have violated federal laws. Soros' Open Societies Foundation, he's actually called it the Open Societies Foundation. He's not even pretending. He didn't try to say it's, you know, a different name and then do things with it. No, he just calls it the Open Societies Foundation, which began between 2016 and 2020 to give a group called Alianza Americas, millions of dollars. Gave him another $350,000 in 2021. This story I've got here is from 2024. Alianza America is suing Governor Ron DeSantis because he flew illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard. Okay. What they're saying is they've been given money by George Soros to try and beat up on states who dare to take a stand about illegal immigration. Because Soros has a globalist vision. He's got this whole open borders thing, this whole cosmopolitanism. That's George Soros. And he wants to tear down capitalism, and he wants to tear down anything that stands in the way of his globalization concepts. Florida is not sitting still. And I love the fact that Florida's doing it. And by the way, Florida's not alone, but Florida is, in my opinion, the leader. But story here on local news, WUSF down in Florida, dated May 8th, so it's just what, a week old? Florida and the federal government squared off this week in an appeals court about whether or not the state could legally challenge Biden administration policies that led to undocumented immigrants being released from detention. It's Biden's parole policy. He just lets them in. They come in. If they catch you, they check you off. They give you a date when maybe you'll show back up, and they ship you out, and you wind up all over the place. Florida's had enough of it. Florida's saying, stop. We're going to sue you. Well, there was a case last year when Texas and Louisiana were told they didn't have standing, which is still, to me, just wild. Florida is coming at a different angle, saying that the paroling of people who have already been detained violates their sovereignty. And so they're going at it. Now, Big Rig, I'm going to use audio clip number 2, which is the Mayorkas interview on Town Hall. So let's talk about this. As I'm talking about sovereignty and I'm referring to the European Union elections, keep in mind that the things that were driving the train in the European Union elections are actually what's driving us towards the November elections in America. Alejandro Mayorkas, just did an interview the other day, raised a lot of eyebrows. I got a little 17-second audio clip. You ready on that? Let's go ahead and just play it right now.
We have increased the number of refugees that we will accept from the Western Hemisphere. We have built safe mobility offices in Colombia, Ecuador, Guatemala, Costa Rica, to reach people where they are so they don't have to take the perilous journey.
So what you just heard there was the Biden administration, for all of its talk lately about how we're gonna fix the border, they're actually setting up offices. They call them safe mobility offices in foreign countries to aid people on how to get here. The heck is that? Some would call that treason. Here we are talking about, please stop. Please stop this. Florida's having to sue the government. Texas is suing the government. Every state's considered a border state. Millions are flooding across our borders. They better take note of the fact that in Europe, they just got their backsides handed to them by a bunch of populists who said, we're tired of this. We want our country back. We want to know that we have sovereignty and that we don't have open borders. We'll work with the neighbors next to our north, south, east, and west. We'll work with our neighbor allies. But we don't have to be ruled by everything they say or do. We don't have to have people streaming across our borders unfettered. Joe Biden, though, is panicking because immigration, like I said, top concern. So you know for a fact, on June 4th, when he signed an executive order and said he's fixing the border problem. Oh, you just figured that out, did you? Took you 3.5 years and 5 months before your election, with the polls showing that you're losing in a big way on the issue, for you to finally think about doing something. You know why? Because they're scared. Because they're scared. They could see what was brewing in Europe. They could feel the sense of what's happening in America. They know they got an election coming up, and they're way behind the power curve, and it's their fault because they bought into the whole open borders thing, and they're going to pretend now they're doing something. When we get back, I'm going to step back to Europe again, and I'm going to tell you some of the things that brewed up on this that took it all the way to an election that has got them smoked right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. The most beautiful state in the nation. Say it unapologetically. I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, let me pause before I go any further on the dippers for the day. Let me just pause here a second, give you guys something I think pretty big to think about, and something free. You ready? This is like a crazy world. It is. It's a crazy world we live in, and yet you're working hard. I know most of you are working hard to plan for your future, to maybe put aside some money for retirement. And, oh, by the way, also stand up for your beliefs. But what if you found out that the things that you're investing in were actually contrary to the things you say you believe in? Well, maybe it's time for you guys to meet Paul Breyer and his team of PhDs and financial experts at our newest sponsor, Inspire Advisors. So I'm talking about financial planning that they do with you that considers who you are and what you believe in as much as they work on your bottom line. These are solid local experts using biblically responsible investing, data-driven strategies to maximize your return, and they do it in a way that has a real impact on your bottom line and, oh, by the way, on the world in which you live. It's what I would call a real serious dose of financial freedom. If you want to know more about what's in your portfolio, here's the free thing. You ready? If you want to know more what's already in your portfolio, you want to check things out, you can go to their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com, and go on there and do a free impact report. It's worth it. That's Inspire Advisors. Their website is moneypatternwealth.com. You can also go to our website, rightsideradio.org. All of our sponsors are on a sponsor tab. Click on their logo. It takes you right to their website. So yeah, this is conservative, godly, balanced financial freedom with Inspire Advisors at www.moneypatternwealth.com. Check them out. All right, back on the dipper, sovereignty. Let's take this to the top of the hour. So here's the deal. Joe Biden and them are scared to death. They can see it. They can smell it. Populism is in the air when it comes to anything related to our borders and our sovereignty. We want to know that the American flag is still going to be allowed to fly. We're sick to death of seeing Palestinian flags being draped over our monuments. We're sick to death of seeing illegal immigrants committing crimes against our citizens. We're sick to death of watching our major cities exploited by people who just come in and suck down resources, who have no desire to become Americans. They just want to get stuff. Well, they're here to better their lives. Yes, they are. I understand that. You know what? A lot of people come here to better their lives. We were built as a nation of immigrants. Legal immigrants. What we're watching on the southern border is not anything related to what you saw at Ellis Island in the days of the mass, you know, importations of people from foreign countries who came through and registered to become Americans and were proud to be here and became a part of our culture. You're watching people stream across in what I would call mass migration. Whole communities uprooting and moving across our borders and then just taking up space. Joe Biden's freaking out over it. He came out and did a executive order, talked about how it's going to make a big difference. It's going to be a thing. It's going to, no joke, man. Like Corn Pop shaking his boots. Well, he knows what's happening around the world right now is people are sick to death of watching their sovereignty be trashed by open borders. Early data shows, according to Newsweek, early data shows that the executive action, though, that he put into place has had little effect on the number of illegal crossings. The very first day of the announcement, the very first day after he signed that or that executive order, there were still 4,000 immigrants crossing into the border that were detained. And so you look at this and go, okay, so this is a thing. In America, this is a thing. If you were listening to the beginning of this segment, I had the whole piece about the European Union elections and how what I would call conservative, populist-based parties suddenly stormed the election process, freaking out the establishment and the open borders people. Now, I'm going to use audio clip number one, Big Rig. This is that Tory interview. So here's an example of how serious this has gotten. I've got an article here from The Guardian, British news outlet. It starts off by saying, immigration was already a talking point of the UK election campaign, but last week, and okay, now I will say Lee from Huntsville is correcting me. She says that I should pronounce his name Farage. I can't do it. It's Farage. Anyway, I don't know how his name is pronounced. He's a hero of mine. Apparently, I'm saying his name wrong. Anyway, Nigel Farage entered stage right and declared this to be the immigration election. There you go. He just went ahead and took the messaging. He said, it's the immigration election. And within 24 hours, conservatives had pledged to then reduce the number of migrants. All right, so the Tories, the conservatives in party, who have the party power right now in Great Britain, are freaking out because just like Joe Biden doing an executive order, they suddenly realized, holy crap, we're about to get waxed on this issue. All right, wait, we're going to cut it by tens of thousands. There'll be tens of thousands. They call it net migration. In other words, how many are allowed here? And they're saying, we're going to cut it by tens of thousands. Well, they've been promising that for years. Well, a recent interview that I think is pretty impressive. The chairman of the Tories of the Conservative Party just got interviewed, and basically he got slammed. Big Rig, you about ready on that? Yep. Let's go ahead and play clip one. Just listen to how the interview went.
Well, we had the Tory party chairman on Newsnight the week before last, the day after the election was called, and I asked Richard Holden then about the Tories' regular promises over the years to cut net migration. 2010, Mr. Cameron promised in the election campaign he'd bring net migration down to tens of thousands per year. Did that happen?
Well, it's quite clear that's not what's happened.
Right, 2015 Conservative Manifesto, the pledge was reiterated. Did that happen?
Well, I think we've also seen huge, big changes.
Did that happen?
No, it clearly
right.
didn't.
2017, Theresa May reiterated the tens of thousands pledge. Did that happen?
No.
2019, Conservative Manifesto.
Victoria, you can go through all of these, and it's quite clear that we haven't achieved
what
we'd
like
to achieve.
It's really important because you've made this promise at every single election, and in fact, you've delivered the complete opposite. Because of policies you've implemented, the numbers have gone up and up and up. So I ask again, why should voters believe you this time?
I think in some areas, I mean, one of the big things that we saw, obviously, during that, at the start of some of those periods, was we obviously still in the European Union in 2015, for example, when there was no controls on net migration.
Okay. She wore him out. I wish y'all could see his face. Like he would try to talk and she'd just go, yeah, but in 2015, he had the eyebrows went up. He's like, oh, this is going to go bad. You could see it. He was like, okay, can I leave? No, I can't leave. I'm stuck. I'm on camera.
He definitely looked uncomfortable.
He did. It was an awkward moment. But she was calling him out in a big way because the Tories have had party power for a number of years. And at every single election, they said they were going to curb net migration, and they haven't. They have not at all. So what happened this past week? Here's a story from Fox. Germany's conservatives have finished first in the EU election as far-right momentum sends France's leader scrambling. So what just happened? All right. Germany was one of the countries that saw a group called Alternatives for Germany come in second place overall. In other words, it shocks people. They're like, wait, where'd this party come from? They're a populist party that says, give us our borders back. And also another one called the Christian Democratic Union. Give us our borders back. In France, it was so bad. Oh, in Belgium, it was so bad that the Belgian prime minister resigned over, I mean, just literally resigned. It's almost like an election coup. In France, it drew such attention to Macron, who is a, you know, a centrist, when far-right candidate Marine Le Pen and her party had massive election results in the European parliamentary elections last week, that he decided to do what's called a snap legislative election. Now, okay, I had to go look this up. I'm not an expert in European politics. They have some different ways of doing things. Article 12 of the French Constitution, apparently, allows the president to actually end the current. It'd be almost like President Biden saying, we're going to dissolve Congress and have new elections. Huh? You can do that? Well, in France, you can. And it's happened a number of times. I mean, you can go back to, you know, you can look at different times like de Gaulle did it in 1962. And you can find times in 1981, it was done by Mitterrand. And so Jacques Chirac did it in 97. It's a very risky move. What he's gambling on? Here's the deal. Macron did this because he's trying to play chess, but I think it may bounce back on him. He decided that he would quickly try to seize the momentum because what happens in France right now is they've got their presidential elections aligned with their assembly elections, their congressional, so to speak, elections. He's shifting it by saying, I'm ending it now. I'm dissolving parliament. We're going to have new elections in 40 days. 40 days! And that puts everything off cycle. So it gives him time to not be caught up in all of their mess when he's having his presidential reelection campaign in a couple of years. But in the meantime, he's also trying to get ahead of the party power that he sees growing in the pro-borders, anti-immigration, right-wing conservatives. He's trying to jump ahead of their power and get an election done before they have a chance to truly organize on the ground in the actual French government because they just waxed them in the European Union parliamentary elections. Y'all, what I'm trying to describe to you is that we're coming up on our 2024 elections, and the number one issue in our polls here in the U.S. that has driven President Biden to wake up from his nap and actually sign an executive order that still didn't do anything, but it was at the very least giving lip service to a thing he's been denying for 3.5 years. The very thing that drove him to do that just stole the elections in Europe. And that's huge. That's absolutely huge. And I love it. I mean, I'm thinking this could wind up being a worldwide movement. I hope it is. I mean, I've been wrong before. I get it. I mean, the 2022 elections, midterms, I thought they were going to be bigger than they were for Republicans, and they weren't. But I'm looking at what's happening in Europe. I'm looking at the way they just, conservatives in all these countries, France, Belgium, Germany, Spain, Italy, they all went in there and just, like the 72-nation European Union just sat back on their heels going, holy crap, the conservatives just arrived. It all started with Nigel Farage and Brexit a few years ago. Because people actually care about their borders. All right. We're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. If I can, I might tax a little bit more on this because my hero, Nigel Farage, actually has more to say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. So finishing up this section on sovereignty, what does happen in Europe may be happening now, and I hope it does. I hope populists, I hope you get to your feet. I hope you rush to the polls. I hope you call your friends. I hope you tell your neighbors. I hope, by golly, you go out on your social media and you encourage everybody to go vote for our country. Go vote for our sovereignty. Go vote for our borders. And if that means voting Democrat, you got another think coming. I'm telling you, the Democrat Party is the one sucking down money from George Soros, the one that is all for the open borders, the one who screams anytime you put up a fence. And yet what we just watched happen in Europe this past week has shaken the establishment to its core. France having snap elections. Belgium's prime minister resigns. Parties that have never been heard of before just gained seats in their parliamentary positions in the EU. It all started with Brexit. So I keep talking about Nigel Farage, whichever way his name is pronounced, but the guy has really been on the scene now for a few years, making waves. He is sometimes called the British Trump, and so it's kind of interesting. He was actually debanked, believe it or not. He came out hard against bankers, calling for a $40 billion tax cut. He wants his party, by the way, now is called the Reform UK Party. They're being seen as the new standard for Conservative Party politics in Great Britain. But the Reform UK Party is calling for a $40 billion tax cut. And the way to do it, they say, is to stop letting the government give money to banks. Take some of that and give it back to the people. He was actually debanked. The Bank of England decided to go ahead and cut out a guy who used to serve in the Parliament, in the European Parliament. So that's the guy we're talking about here. So there was an article I pulled off of Fox that says that he himself, Nigel Farage, has chosen to shake up the UK elections, shaken up the entire British establishment, and returned to politics. He's been out of politics for 5 years. He's been making waves in the background, but he's not been running for any office or position of leadership. Well, now he is. He's taken over. In fact, his words were, "I'm back. I'm standing as a candidate in this election. I've taken the leadership over of Reform UK, the party." He says, "You know why?" He said, "I see our country going down the drain. I believe in Britain. These boring idiots that lead the Labour and Conservative Party are not worth the space," he said. He said, "I can't turn my back on the millions of people who followed me and believed in me, so I've changed my mind because I can't let down millions of people." A guy named Thomas Corbett Dillon, a former advisor to Prime Minister Boris Johnson, told Fox News Digital, he says, "Finally, the UK has a politician willing to stand up and say what the people have been saying for years. No more immigration. The majority of issues facing our country, our lack of housing, our overwhelmed health services, our lack of jobs, has been made worse by the currently controlling Conservative Party, who have imported millions of people from the third world against the wishes of the people." He said, "Nigel Farage has become the most important politician in the UK and may actually live up to the title of being the British Trump." He says, "Farage is breaking the current establishment of the Conservative Party, just like Trump broke the establishment of the Republican Party in 2016. MAGA Americans ought to support Nigel and the Reform Party from across the pond." Well, there you go. Look, I just spent time unpacking something I don't think you're hearing on any other radio show. But the truth is out there. The populist position of desiring to see our sovereignty preserved and our borders maintained is something that we aren't the only ones who care about it. And in Europe, you just saw an uprising, politically speaking. The European Union just got their backsides handed to them by a bunch of populists who said, "We're sick to death of watching you guys erode our countries. George Soros and your Open Society Foundation, you can take a hike." Now, they're not done. They're not the supermajority, but they just gained enough seats to control the flow and enough seats to not only be in the European Parliament, which is like, you know, picture a globalization government there. They're a governing body for the EU. But the individual countries still have all of their own individual, you know, governmental actions. And it has so upset the apple cart that local politics in all of these countries is on its heels. Great Britain, Italy, France, Germany, Belgium, Luxembourg, Spain, all of them. So I'm loving it. I am. I think it's cool. I'm fascinated by this. I'm ready to just, like, you know, sit back and start, you know, drinking in more speeches of Nigel Farage. Listen, I'm serious when I say, too, man, the funniest, I mean, I've actually used this speech when he spoke to the European Union about the Brexit vote. I've used that in leadership classes before to teach being willing to say the things that people don't want to hear. He stood there being booed. And he said at one point, he goes, "Now I realize that most of you have never held a proper job in your entire lives." He said, "But the people outside of here, they have. And they're tired of you." And that's, I tell you what, meeting him at the Trump Hotel in D.C., I got my picture of him with, I need to find it and blow it up and put it on the wall. Make one of those giant wall hangings of it. Anyway, the guy's a hoot, and the guy's leading our revolution right now. Interesting to see where it goes. All right, coming back here in a moment. You know the deal. It's Wednesday afternoon, 4 o'clock. Grand Council, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.